our daily bread. So the first and most important thing to always remind ourselves of is that this is what Jesus has taught us to do and what to say. It's a divine or a perfect model for prayer. It's not the only way that we can pray, but this is a good petition that God is pleased to hear us say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread to provide for our physical needs, the most immediate sense of what bread is useful for. But also this request carries with it something more, a recognition that it is the Lord who is the fount of life and blessing, that it is God who gives us our daily bread. You had to work for it, or you had to wait for it, but you were fed this week. Praise God for that. But the most important thing to realize is not merely because you did something that you received something. That we recognize that God is our only provider, our source of everything good. And that's what defines a believing life from an unbelieving life. An unbelieving life says everything we have is something that we have gained, something that we have took hold of, something that we have possessed through our own power, through our own might. Whereas the believer says, even if the Lord took away everything that we depended upon, we would still say that he is the provider of good to us and that he knows what we need within our measure. And so we recognize that we need the Lord. And there's four key things that we'll walk through in this petition and then sort of summarize it together. The first is that we give thanks to God, the provider. And so when we pray this, we are giving thanks to him as our provider. We acknowledge him. But we also are refusing to trust in our own efforts alone. That'll be the second part, that we refuse to trust in our own efforts alone. Third, that we are content. I liked how one writer said, we are content with less than surplus. We are content to learn the secret of facing plenty and hunger, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. To be content with less than surplus. And then fourth, we are to share our bread with others who do not have it. And we'll see that in Philippians 4 as well. So give thanks to God the provider. I refuse to trust in our own efforts alone. But then these two additional points that I think flesh out what Jesus is instructing us in, that we are content with less and we are to share our bread with others who do not have it. And so first, we give thanks to God the provider. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Won't say too much on this point. I think it's fairly straightforward, isn't it? When we ask the Lord for what we need, we are acknowledging that he is the one who supplies that need. And it can be hard when it feels, say if you're praying for rain and you're going through a famine. Or you're praying for bread. There's just so little. You're praying for work and just doesn't seem to happen. Or you're praying for a spouse, or you're praying for whatever it might be in terms of our daily physical needs, but even sort of the broader needs. If any of you have taken a psychology course, you know of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and at the basic level is food and shelter, and then it works itself up. And there's more complex needs that we realize the Lord needs to provide for us as well. Needs for a sense of fulfillment, need for a community to belong to, need for all sorts of things that improve our lives. And we're asking the Lord, when we ask, Lord, give us our daily bread. It's a beautiful way to say, to summarize that we want many things, Lord. And it's captured in this idea of daily bread. And so we are giving thanks to God, the provider, as we pray this. And that's what Jesus is instructing us in. As the larger catechism reminds us, this comes in a very particular context. In the fourth petition, says the larger catechism, we acknowledge that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God and to have them cursed to us in the use of them, and that neither they of themselves are able to sustain us, nor we to merit, or by our own industry to procure them or to get them, but prone to desire, get and use them unlawfully. There in the larger catechism, as they reflected on what it is that we are asking for when we ask the Lord to give us our daily bread, it's occurring in the context of our sinfulness. Because we are sinners, the catechism is saying, we can so often think that we have some right to bread. In Genesis chapter 3, the Lord tells Adam, the day you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. And then after he had eaten of that tree, the Lord graciously, mercifully, sovereignly said, your death will come. But he provided an interim time for Adam to live. An extension of days with death at its end. And then in that context, the Lord then delivered this curse upon Adam's labor, that he would suffer, he would struggle, he would be constantly reminded of his distress. And with it, of his deliverer. Of the requirement that another provide for him that which he lacked, which is true righteousness and holiness. And so whenever Adam would pick up a shovel to dig a trench or to get rid of a wretched weed, he was being reminded that his toil was a consequence of his fall. And that even the little bit that came out of the ground was only there because the Lord was providing for him. Was only emerging out of the ground, out of that cursed ground, the Lord had said, I will make it difficult, but I will not make it impossible. God says, I will still be your provider, even in the midst of your fallenness. Most centrally, as we give thanks to God, the provider in this petition, we are saying, Lord, thank you for bread and life. Thank you that we live and that we receive bread. That our basic needs, but even our need for existence, is being satisfied by you. The Lord could have removed Adam from his very presence that very day and taken his life and judged him eternally. But the beauty of the gospel is that the Lord intercedes for Adam and sends the son of Adam to come to set Adam free, to deliver Adam from bondage to sin and death, the very thing that that curse upon the ground was a testimony to. And so give us this day our daily bread acknowledges that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the blessings of this life. Under the terms of the covenant of works, if Adam were to have kept the command given in the garden in perpetuity for an extended time, then the Lord would have provided to him all manner of blessings that he had merited, that he deserved. But when we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we recognize we do not deserve anything. And so this ties in with the second point that we'll look at, that we refuse to trust in our own efforts alone. Our own efforts alone. And there's two Old Testament examples of this. In Exodus chapter 16, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 16. And as you're doing so, as a trivia question, think of what the story is, if you have an idea. But this is the likely Old Testament background of Jesus' request here. But we're told that the people of Israel came to the wilderness, and they were grumbling, which is a comment that's on repeat in the book of Exodus. They were grumbling against Moses and Aaron, and they said, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Lord, we have a better plan. And when Jesus says, pray to the Father, give us this day our daily bread, in part, we are renouncing, Lord, we don't have better plans than you do. We're willing to submit ourselves to your plan for our lives. If you're going to be our provider, we will submit ourselves to you. Because here the people say, we're sick of it. We don't want this. We want what we had. We want slavery with meat pots and bread. And it's interesting. They say, we ate bread to the full. But do they not recall the way that they were mistreated in Egypt? Even that is this lovely glossing over. And isn't that what we so often do when we make things up for ourselves or we come up with our own plans or we evaluate our own actions? In hindsight, we make ourselves look better than we once did. Or the situation, oh, remember when we had it good in Egypt? Well, that's silly. But if the Lord left us to our own devices, we would often think, oh, man, things were better back then. When we just did things our own way. When we were in Egypt, which was a place of bondage and slavery. And so the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion. And on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. And so the Lord appointed a way for them to receive each day's bread. And then as we read especially, the Lord appointed a way for them to receive their Sabbath bread the day before. That they were assured that they could rest on the Sabbath as they were commanded because God had provided double. But then you know the story. That some of the people, verse 27, went out to gather on the seventh day. But they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. And so the people rested on the seventh day. And so when Jesus says, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, there's suggestive within it that the Lord will give us the perfect amount. It's where Paul can say, I can learn the secret of facing plenty and hunger. And in a very deliberate way, we can say that the Lord can even assign times of extra to us to sustain us for an extended period. Or he can give you only what you need just for the day. That's the example in Exodus 16, that the Lord in his wisdom says, on these days I'm giving one measure, and on these days I'll give double measure to prepare for the next day. We see that also with Joseph. 7 years of God's appointment of surplus, followed by 7 years of rations, of barely getting through, but getting through because of what God had appointed for them. And so what are we doing? We are refusing to trust in our own efforts alone. God, the Israelites are saying, we've got this. We've got a plan. We'll just go back to Egypt and we'll have meat and we'll have bread in full. But Jesus is saying, no. We ask of the Lord our daily bread. We do not take things for ourselves. And that's an example that we also see in Joshua chapter 7. Now, on the one hand, Joshua 7 is just about theft. It's the story of Achan. This man Achan, who saw the beautiful things of the city that they had just conquered, and he said, I want some of that. And the trouble is, the Lord had said, you are not to have any of that. This is something that we often can run into, that we can quest after or lust after the things that do not actually belong to us. I know in myself that there's times where you say, I just like to be a little rich. Drive through neighborhoods in Vancouver, you say, well, that'd be nice. Achan looks at a pile of stuff that's going to go in the garbage anyways. And says, I'm just going to help myself. Achan, after their military victory, says, I'm just going to take a little bit. And then he hides it. He recognizes that what he has done is in violation of God's law. But he says, I'm just going to do things my own way. And I'll come out ahead because of it. But the Lord, in his burning anger, rages against them, sends them to defeat. They end up naming the valley where this occurred, the Valley of Achor, for there the Lord turned back his burning anger. We must not trust our efforts to secure our daily bread. You're to go about your daily activities. If a man wants to eat, he must work, his Pauline exhortation. But at the heart of it, we recognize that neither our care and work can do us any good without God's blessing. And so as the Heidelberg Catechism says, we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in God alone. That's what it ultimately comes down to. Achan, this man, both as a thief, but also taking things into his own hand. Exodus 16, the Israelites going out on the seventh day, risking the anger of God because they were not looking to him as their provider. They were saying, well, if the Lord's going to give us instructions, we're going to make sure that we're going to be okay on this last day. But then more broadly, third point is that we are content with less than surplus. I want to just look over at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 through 14, was where the Apostle Paul, who was being transformed by the Spirit of God to be a man of righteousness, a man of peace, a man of contentment, a man of walking like Christ, gives us an example to follow as we together follow Jesus Christ. That's how we are to read so much of Paul's letters, where he appeals even to his own example. He says, look, Jesus has been at work in me, transforming me, and this is what I appeal to you to follow in this way. It's a good example. It's a godly example. And the godly example that is set before us here is entirely consistent with our prayer. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Verses 9 through 14. Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Those are full spectrum comparisons, or full spectrum pairings. Abundance and need, plenty and hunger. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's not about kicking field goals on a football team, as often is ripped out of context. Philippians 4:13 pops up in all sorts of unlikely places. It's within this context. I can go through many trials. I can face many difficulties. I can go through, we don't really feel like we have to endure times of plenty, but we do have to endure times of hunger and need. When the Lord provides us with plenty, when the Lord provides us with an abundance, we rejoice in that. We do all things through him who strengthens us to guard against the temptations of riches, but also the temptations of poverty that come to us. And so Paul says, it was kind of you to share my trouble. Give us this day our daily bread is plural. It involves us. It's the prayer of a disciple. It's a prayer of an individual, but it's also a prayer that we pray together, which I think is always important as well. Lord, give me the bread that I need, but you know, as to the rest, I don't really care, is not consistent with what it is to be a Christian. He says, it was kind of you to share my trouble or to participate in my difficulties. And so we are to share our bread with others who do not have it, as a fourth point, that we are content when we have less than a surplus, which is a powerful thing in our age when the prosperity gospel looms so large as a false teaching that we have to confront. If you are on the Lord's side, you will be great. You will have everything. It is so entirely contrasted with, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. It's really stunning that some try to teach the scriptures saying that God just wants you to be happy, healthy, wealthy, and liked. Paul says, I had many troubles and you shared them with me. That's a very different description of us getting by with our daily bread, being content with it, even when it's not much, or it feels like it's not enough. It doesn't make it easy. There's perhaps, you know, financial stress, financial worry. Some of you have made big trips from other countries and you face the reality, okay, now that we're here on the ground, you have to make sure that it's working out. Or you're praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Cause us to endure in all things. For verse 19 is such a beautiful declaration. My God will supply every need of yours according to the riches of his glory, according to his riches, rather, in glory in Christ Jesus. And this comes up in verses 15 through 20, that Paul is explaining to them just how they have been a blessing. He says, you know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered in a partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I could preach on that particular passage and take us through each of it line by line, but Paul is saying, as you lived, O Philippians, in a daily bread sort of way, you realize that when you gave, that the Lord would still provide for you. We can often live in a zero-sum sort of way, that if we give, then we have less. And in a basic sense, that makes sense. But if it is the Lord who supplies our every need, then when we give, and the next day our bread is returned to, is given to us again, that the Lord can see fit to bless us in that. This is the whole challenge that perhaps some of you have faced. I've faced this particularly, struggling to understand, how do we tithe our first fruits? You receive money and you give a portion of it immediately? That just doesn't seem wise. Maybe I should wait until the end. Maybe I need to give some of the leftovers. Maybe I need to say, set a bit of it aside. But the Lord says, no, give first. Give generously. Share your bread with others who do not have it, because tomorrow I will provide you with your daily bread at your request. And so we pray, Lord, do provide for our physical needs. Cause us to recognize that you are the source of everything good. Help us to not strive for anything that does not have your blessing. Not to quest after daily luxuries, daily wealth, at the expense of our calling in Christ. Help us not to put our trust in any creature and to place it in you alone. Or as the larger catechism says, we pray for ourselves and others that both they and we might wait upon the providence of God from day to day in the use of lawful means, and that God, through his fatherly wisdom, may cause us to enjoy a portion of his gifts, and that we might have the same continued and blessed unto us in our holy and comfortable use of them, and that we might be content in what God gives us, and be kept from all things that are contrary to our temporal support and comfort. In the end there, the catechism is saying, Lord, be sure to give us bread and never stones, never snakes. Don't give us the things that are actually ruinous to us, harmful to us. And the Lord, Jesus explains, the Father is a good Father and he gives us good gifts when we ask them of him. And so let's come to him in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our blessed Father, how great are you in wondrous are your ways, your works of protection, your works of providing for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day the things that we need. Lord, give to us those things which we can be sure to use as a blessing to others. give to us a certain sense of relief from the anxieties of money and worrying about where things come from. May we be relieved of the anxious thoughts of those who wonder how they might be clothed or those who wonder how they might be housed. May we, Lord, rather be free to be a blessing and to go forth with joy and confidence in Christ. Lord, would you further refine us? Our stuff means a lot to us, but would you keep us from making these things into idols? Would you help us, Lord, to navigate well and wisely the callings that you give to us and the efforts that we make to both save for tomorrow, but also to supply our daily needs as well. Lord, we do make plans. We do set things aside for later. Lord, may we do this with good intent. May we do this with wisdom. May we do this, Lord, with a recognition that we are stewards of your good graces. And Father, would you also give to us a heart of joy as we give cheerfully to the needs and concerns of others. We would not be miserly, that we would not be slothful, that we would not be stingy, that we would instead, Lord, abound in thanksgiving and abound in generosity as you've called us. Thank you, Lord, that you supply every need according to the riches of your glory in Christ Jesus. And thank you that we can be part of a holy gathering that declares that to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. For Lord, you are good, and may you continue to be with us. Give us, Lord, this understanding to know how to be brought low and how to abound. In all circumstances, to learn the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, so that we might say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so be with us now as we go forth from here. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing one more psalm before we go out. Let's sing Psalm 65, verses 1 through 5.